The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Coming to you from OSG Central Headquarters,
wherever that is.
Yes! Number 500 for Jim Tony!
It's time for Count Pointer Count.
I'm embarrassed by that performance out there. As I always do, I'll take full accountability and responsibility for our team playing like that.
Do it.
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, John Nelson.
Another round of the show, and I figure
just the show.
Yeah, as opposed to the college football show, since we're doing multiple things.
So nice,
these days.
You named it twice.
Show.
And you can't do a show without talking about Bill Belichick.
Gotta love it, huh?
Yeah, it couldn't happen to a more endearing personality,
Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, so Mr. Cheat.
Mr. Cheat, yeah.
I mean,
come
on,
he's a very engaging guy, don't you think?
Yeah, just a virtual soundbite machine.
Especially on those full screens that they always show.
Yes.
Busted
and he dresses
for
the occasion, too.
He looks like the Unabomber in training.
You gotta love the hooded sweatshirts. He brought that in style.
Yeah, especially with, like, the frayed front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the sleeves cut.
Uh-huh. And the sweat stains. Can't
yeah,
beat it.
Can't beat that.
So it's like a wife-beater Unabomber hybrid. Yeah. Pulling the strings out kind of thing.
Did you guys see it last year? I forget which game it was where he's going to shake the coach's hand and a still photographer got in his way and he just grabbed him by the shoulders and threw him back and all of a sudden a security guy got in between the two.
No, I missed that.
I heard about that. I didn't actually see the video. But
classic Bill Belichick.
$500,000 fine for the man, so it comes out to about 1/8 of his salary. Patriots are fined $250,000.
And they lose their first-round draft pick.
But they had two of them.
Yes. It still hurts a little. It still stings a little bit if you got two. Now you only got back to one.
But you got Scott Pioli.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, this is the team that picked up Randy Moss, Adelius Thomas, Dante Stallworth.
So they don't need the draft.
Everybody's short.
Trade bait.
Yeah, everybody's short of whomever picking it up. And we have, as an exclusive, OSG Sports Radio audio of the actual conversation between Roger Goodell and Bill Belichick from inside Goodell's office. And this is what it sounded like, at least the last minute and a half.
Coach Belichick.
Did you order the
videotaping?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has
games,
and those
games
have to be
won
by men with
game plans.
Who's going to do it? You?
Commissioner Goodell.
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for
the Jets
when you curse the
Patriots.
You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That
videotaping the Jets,
while tragic,
wins games.
And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you,
wins games.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that
sideline.
You need me on that
sideline.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very
football
that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the
videotaping?
I did the job. Did you order the
videotaping?
Goddamn right I did!
So I guess you're goddamn right he did.
You can't handle it.
Actually, yeah, you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle it.
I suggest you say thank you and go on your way.
Well, apparently, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports somehow manufactured the actual video from New England of what they were shooting. And
what were they shooting?
They were shooting the defensive coaches making their little hand signals on the sidelines, and then it would pan up and show a shot of the scoreboard on every play.
Okay, down and distance hand signals. Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what kind of advantage this actually really gives you, but it's kind of the spirit of fair play here that's
right.
Being violated.
Well, but in baseball, it's all about stealing signs. What's the difference between that and this?
Seems like in baseball, it's a little more accepted, and it's part of the whole fabric of the game, although it's not really, I guess, something you would encourage.
No.
Or in football, I mean,
you're still
football, there's so many freaking secrets.
But they're stealing signs all the time.
Football, you still, even if you're stealing somebody's signs, you still got 22 people standing out there on the turf that have to execute their jobs correctly in order for it to work one way or the other.
And how is this beneficial?
Football, I mean, you've got film exchanges. Everybody has a book on every team, even on the college level. I mean, there's so much information that flows back and forth from team to team.
They have a rough idea what you're going to do in any given situation anyway. They may not know specifically. And I'm not saying what they did's right, because it's not. You're supposed to play by the rules, and obviously they're making their own rules.
Yeah, considering that, September the 6th, the league mandate came out, no videotaping at all of anything.
Right.
Though I do like Donovan McNabb's quote when asked about it. I want my Super Bowl trophy back.
So now
that's good.
So now the New England Patriots have 3 asterisk Super Bowl victories?
I wouldn't go that far, but... I think it's been done in the past.
Yeah,
and put it that way.
In the grand scheme of things, this is not like a life or death, earth-shaking, oh my God, the world's going to end kind of an event.
But the Jolly Roger dropped the hammer.
He did, and I don't think any of those violations would have caused Anna Vinatieri's kicks to go wide left or wide right.
But
he did drop the hammer, and...
And rightfully so.
Was it hard enough, though?
That's the question. Should there have been a forfeiture of the Jets game? Should Belichick have been suspended for the rematch?
I don't think you can go that far with it. I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but this is a commissioner that kind of plays by his own rules and goes by his own judgment as far as punishments.
I think unless it's affecting the outcome of the game, I don't see how you could justify being able to suspend somebody. And you could make an argument one way or another really easily that it's not going to affect the outcome of the game.
Because it would have to be such a quick turn. You would have to simultaneously burn a CD with the high camera and the low camera and turn it during halftime and then interpret it and then watch it.
And make your adjustments before, all in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
At least make the guy wear the league-mandated polo every now and then.
Actually, what he ought to do is wear a suit.
Yeah, that'd be nice, that would have been a good punishment.
With hair gel?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a great punishment.
I like that. I think
for all 16 regular season games.
Yes.
That would have gotten under his skin. That would have been perfect.
And smile at least once, maybe twice in an interview. And actually enjoy himself.
Well, and the thing is that I will give him credit, though. He's created an entirely new element now. It's a rules interpretation that was a misinterpretation of the rules. Okay, I've had a rules interpretation of my marriage. You know, I was out late. It was a rules interpretation of the marriage that I was out with the guys until 3 a.m. and didn't call you. He's created it, you know, with the cops, you get pulled over for speeding. Oh, the sign says speed limit 70, but the rules interpretation that I see there, you know.
Says I can go 75.
Yeah. It's an interpretation. I'm interpreting here.
I think it's more a case of, let's see if we can do this and if it'll help us.
Well,
and if we can get away with it.
Yeah.
So then he's just basically a guy. He's like a normal guy, just trying to figure out what the rules are and what he can bring.
Yeah, but normal guys get together and have a good time and laugh. When's the last time he had a good laugh?
Oh, I could have said something about his marital status, but I kind of left it alone.
Yeah, we probably ought not to go there since we're not technically a tabloid radio show.
Give it time. So, all right. So now we've had a rules interpretation, and the beautiful thing was when he was talking, he says, I'm not going to comment further until there's something that happens. He issues a statement, and of course that's his comment, because when he's asked about it in the press conference, I'm not going to say anything else. Anyone want to ask a question about San Diego?
He's lucky he's in a situation where his team's winning.
He's had 3 Super Bowl wins. And
making 4.2, and his owner is worth 1.3 large.
Right.
Because God help him, the first year he has a losing season, they'll be piling on, and
Cleveland.
Rightfully so, because be careful who you piss off on the way
exactly.
up. Yeah.
And you know who his defensive coordinator was, don't you?
Romeo. Or was it Charlie?
No.
Who?
Nick Saban.
Oh, Nick Saban. Oh, yeah, and that's why they're best buddies.
That's right.
takes one to know one.
No joke. Hanging out on each other's boats. That's it for the day. When we come back for the Beat Bang and Blank college football, another week for all hell to break loose when OSU Sports Radio Camp Pointer Count comes back after this.
Everybody knows you're a liar. Why don't I? I just heard about your loving on the side.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
Back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Thank you, Blakeney. B-Block always stands for Blakeney, www.mikeblakeney.com. Why, boys?
He's a rental to you.
Because he belongs to us.
See, now you guys are flip-flopping. That's even better now. Wilkie had the lead last week. Bang and blame.
Let's play.
Yes.
Shall
where
we?
Where would you like to start? Let's start at the beginning of the day with the earliest part on Saturday, Mississippi State and Auburn.
And let's set the record straight. I called that on our college football preview show.
You did. Yes, check your local listings for date and time in your area, mostly Fridays and Saturdays, sometimes Sundays. So here's how things went down. David and David turning Auburn into a boomtown for the MSU Bulldogs, courtesy of Lincoln Financial Sports.
Fourth and goal from the nine. Jamar Chaney with the play of the day a moment ago, deflecting a pass. And now the defense has to stand tall again. Cox, pump fakes. Nobody open, and the Bulldogs stand tall. And they will take over with 48 seconds to play. Barring a major mishap, they'll pick up the road win in Auburn, Alabama. How about this? Sylvester Croom. This club will go to 1-1 in SEC play.
How whacked is that?
Pretty darn whacked.
I mean, Brandon Cox was on a milk carton for most of the game.
He's been on a milk carton for roughly the last year.
Right.
Oh, technically. Are we banging Sylvester Croom or are we blaming Tommy Tuberville?
Probably a little bit of both.
I would give a little blame to Tuberville for pulling Cox, because that's all I heard all preseason was how this Brandon Cox has come around. He's one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the SEC, and now we're seeing that he really hasn't progressed from junior to senior year.
Kind of reminds me of Chris Ricks, Drew Weatherford.
He's actually, I think he's regressed.
I agree.
He's gotten worse as a quarterback, and I'm not sure exactly how you can do that.
I kind of agreed with pulling him. Although I would have brought Brandon Cox back because that is the leader of that team right now. Give him some time to clear his head. But I got to give props to Sylvester Croom because I thought he had that defense well prepared for an Auburn team that really their offense isn't that explosive.
See Kansas State and South Florida.
No, I mean, they don't have a quarterback. The guy who is projected to be their starting running back at the beginning of the year, Brad Lester, hasn't played.
Right.
And they don't have much. Their wide receivers graduated last year.
Right.
And they've got nothing.
So I'm going to give a little blame to Tuberville, but a lot of respect here to Sylvester. That game probably saved his job.
No doubt. Next up on the board, Minnesota and Florida Atlantic.
Oh, my
Seven
gosh.
Seven turnovers for Minnesota. Here's how it ended, courtesy of your folks at Learfield Communications and the Golden Gopher Radio Network.
The Gophers need about 8 yards here and then 2 seconds to get a field goal off.
Weber with Penix next. Receivers out, two left, one on the short side. Here's the snap. Straight drop, big rush, throws it, and it's picked off. Florida Atlantic picked it off, and that will be your game with 3 seconds left.
Well, Florida Atlantic knew the Gophers had to throw to the sidelines, and they were just waiting for the moment. Stepped in front of the Weber pass, took it down, interception. That'll be the game. There's 3 seconds to go.
And this might be one of their biggest wins in the history of their school. Florida Atlantic taking advantage of 7 Minnesota turnovers.
Now, the beautiful part of this is Florida Atlantic this week has a Board of Regents meeting to decide if they get their own barn.
Well, timeliness is everything.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about motivating the troops.
Mm-hmm.
Though, strangely, I don't think a win over Minnesota quite holds the same luster right now that it did maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Doesn't matter. It's a Big Ten team.
So then do we bang Schnellenberger and FAU for a signature win, or do we blame Tim Brewster and the big XII just in general for sucking?
I think that's probably where we go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Schnellenberger did a nice job getting his troops prepared to go play that game, but come on, man. Is the Big Ten not one of the worst power conferences in college football?
What a way to start a network.
It's Division I football!
It's Big Ten football!
You're too off.
They're no longer. I think from here on out, they're no longer allowed to be big until somebody in their conference actually wins a game.
So they're just 10 football?
They're just 10 football, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, people are throwing dirt on the Big Ten, and for good reason.
So you want to keep doing
this? This game wasn't even on the Big Ten Network. Should have been.
No, it wasn't even.
I think we need to call this the curse of the Big Ten Network.
Oh, I know, no doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say, considering their track record, it probably should have been.
And speaking of 10 football, since it's not, we're not going to say Big Ten football, we're just going to call it 10 football?
Call it 10 football.
Little 10.
Or just 10.
Mediocre 10.
Speaking of 10 football, Michigan and Notre Dame. Mike Hart calls a victory. He called his shot. He got it. So are we banging Lloyd Carr and Mike Hart, or are we blaming Charlie Weiss?
I am blaming Charlie Weiss big time.
Dude, Notre Dame sucks.
I mean, that offense is probably the most woeful offense, not only in Notre Dame history, but probably in 1A BCS history.
Did you see
some of that stuff in the first half?
Jimmy Clausen. You're not a fast man.
Well, I mean, just the ineptitude of the offensive line and some of the play calls, I'm like, huh?
Oh, but you know what?
And some of the execution, I'm like, good.
Michigan had Russell Crowe on their side.
Well, there you go.
He was there.
Oh, that makes it okay.
Yeah.
If the
gladiator was there.
How can you lose?
This is what I'm saying.
Well, how could you lose? You invite Notre Dame. If you invite Notre Dame to your house, chances are you're going to walk away with a win.
Yes.
By the way, I was really confused flipping channels Saturday because I watched the Michigan Notre Dame game, and I'm flipping. All of a sudden, I see those blue helmets with the wings on again. I'm going, what?
Delaware?
It was Delaware defeating Rhode Island. Which, by the way,
was a better football game.
Not really, because it crushed Rhode Island, I think like 38-2. But it got my wife to stop and watch football, a Delaware alum from 1993. So,
see, now you've told everybody how old she is. I don't know if you want to do that.
Like she's listening right now.
But people know math. They know how old she is.
That's fine.
You're assuming a little bit there, but anyway.
College football fans.
Go Blue Hens.
Bang or blame, Florida puts a number on Tennessee, and here's your, let's just go with the first highlight of the game. They waited all of a minute 57. Oh, my.
Britton Colquitt, who missed last week's game. He's been bothered by an injured quad. He's back today, and Brandon James, number 25, awaits the punt at the 23-yard line. He could be a game-breaker today. Here's James. As I said, no flags. Brandon James, touchdown Florida. 83-yard return of a 50-yard punt.
points on Tennessee.
I got a
and 7 of that was on defense when Eric Berry ran a pick back.
I got to bang Urban Meyer on this because I thought he had that offense prepared for Tennessee. And I am more and more impressed with Florida each and every week. I didn't think the Florida team, especially their defense, mm-hmm. would be anywhere near a match from last year's team. And what I've seen, to me, they're like one of the top 4 teams in the country right now.
No doubt.
to put it in perspective, though, they haven't really played anybody yet.
But they did go against an SEC defense. Tennessee's defense is pretty good.
That kind of remains to be seen, too. Cal lit them up. Who did they play in week two?
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss put a hurting on them, too. I'm not to say that they're a member of the Big Ten or anything like that.
I guess I'm more impressed with their defense, Florida's defense right now, because they lost so much talent off that national championship team. And let's face it, Tennessee's offense isn't what it has been in the past, but they still got some
Tennessee's
weapons.
Tennessee's in trouble.
Yeah, I would agree. They're 1-2 right now.
I think Phil Fulmer may be
warming
in trouble.
Resume,
feeling
David
some
Cutcliffe.
Flames under his ass right now?
Yeah.
Interesting mental picture. Thank you.
The seat was already getting a little bit warm. If they have a losing season this year, I think you could consider him done.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
And they're just getting into the heart of their schedule at this point in the year.
No kidding. Two more really quickly before we go. BC and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's pretty much back to the land of the normal. Do we bang Matt Ryan and Coach Jag or blame Chan Gailey?
I think you got to give a bang for Matt Ryan, who showed why he was the ACC Player of the Year.
Shredded John Tenuta's defense.
He did, and I've said all along he's the best quarterback in the ACC right now. I've always thought BC was the most complete team, and I'll go more into this on the F Troop. But I'll tell you, Boston College right now, they're 3-0 in the ACC. And they're looking like the team to beat in that conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was Georgia Tech just came back to reality. They're probably not the team that they thought that they were walking into that game.
And the last one before we go to 7-7, which we'll be talking about Kevin Everett. Bang or blame UCLA and Utah? Blame Carl Durrell or bang Utah?
Is it possible the two Utes?
To what? What was that word?
What word?
To what?
What?
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
What is a Ute?
I want to know how the heck UCLA ended up in the top 10 before that game.
So do I. And go to Salt Lake and lay an egg like that to a Mountain West team?
Yeah.
I got to blame Carl Durrell on that one, because your talent level is much better than Utah's, and Utah's is pretty good for a non-BCS.
Yeah,
but you got
to lose the game is one thing. To lose the game 44-6, something entirely different.
Right. I mean, UCLA is not that bad a team, and they're going in the Pac-10 season. Think okay, they have a shot at maybe getting Cal and UCLA, and I don't see how that's going to happen now.
Okay, TNCC, when we come back, we're going to discuss the merits, and that is all there is of Kevin Everett. Merits, after a great week for him. When we come back, more of OSU Sports Radio Camp Point Account after that.
Came to bang, 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 bang.
Can't get out of debt because the credit card companies won't let you. That's right, they just won't let you. They've got a slick system that keeps you in debt until you're old and gray. But now there's a system that destroys debt. It's called the Debt-Free and Prosperous Living System by John Commuta. Call today for a free tape revealing the power of this proven system.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
When you owe people money, they own you. Our system takes all the money you're paying to make the credit card companies rich and redirects it into making you rich.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
You can do the same, guaranteed, no matter how much money you make or how much debt you have. This system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. Call now for your free tape, 1-800-995-5754. For your free tape, call 1-800-995-5754. 1-800-995-5754.
Stop multitasking. Count Pointer Count is back on the air.
C-Block, 10cc, really quickly before we go to the bottom of the hour. Wilkie, Action Phil, and yours truly. And I wanted to get Kevin Everett in here because it's a big story in the National Football League. But we've heard nothing but good news, and it's just astronomical at the rate that it seems to be progressing. First off, he's never going to walk again. He could die. 24-72 hours is going to be key. and now he's moving fingers and toes.
But as Scott Hansen reports, a very special team took care of Everett right away, and now it appears he may just walk again.
Doctors say they are cautiously optimistic about Kevin Everett's recovery. Certain complications, including the possibility of infection and blood clots, could still put his life in jeopardy, but they say he's showing significant improvement, including some movement in his arms and legs.
We still are looking at a many weeks to months scenario, and walking out of this hospital really is not a realistic goal, but walking may very well be.
The team was back at practice Wednesday getting ready for the Steelers, a day after some of the players visited Everett in his hospital bed.
I saw a kid who was battling for his life. You know, I saw a kid who was being positive at the same time.
You know, he was smiling a lot. He was looking left to right, you know, trying to see who there was talking to him. He was actually laughing a little bit when we was talking about some of the football stuff.
I try to express to him how famous he is now. You know, I try to express to him how many people are praying for him now, how much spiritualness is floating around in his way. And I told him that he has to actually hear these and really feel it and believe it and make it come from his head and make it flow through his body.
Regardless of what happens to Everett, the injury is causing Lossman to ask larger questions about his profession.
I was spooked, you know, walking out, you know. I definitely was, you know. I got some younger brothers and cousins that are playing football right now. And, you know, you just, the normal things, you ask yourself, you know, is it worth it for anybody? You know, is it worth it for me to be successful in this game? But somebody else might have to take this fall.
Head coach Dick Geron says that Kevin is never far from their thoughts and conversation, and yet he adds, this is the profession that Everett and his teammates have chosen, and so they will move on as best they can. In Orchard Park, New York, Scott Hansen, NFL Network.
A big part of his recovery was due to the quick response and correct response by the safety personnel up there in Buffalo.
And it was like cold sailing, like immediately.
Yeah, I mean, they knew exactly what to do in that situation with that kind of an injury, did it immediately. And everybody says, that went a long way toward helping him, his injury be a lot, I guess, to put it in perspective, probably less severe than it could have been.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, when you hear about these things, these injuries that happen to football players, you're around them, all NFL players all the time with the Falcons. You're talking about a splash of cold water in your face. I mean, you're putting things in perspective. But to see this one progress the way it has, again, props to the Buffalo Bills and their medical team for applying the correct procedures immediately. Props to medical science right now, which, you know, to me, this is a great example of how far we've come in medical science. Mm-hmm. You know, we remember the Daryl Stingleys, the Mike Utleys, the Dennis Birds, and seeing this kid and his devastating injury. Chucky Mullins. Yeah, that's a good example. The kid from TCU in 74, mm-hmm. Kent Waltrip, mm-hmm. Him too. To see how that's progressed and how spinal cord injuries, how much research has gone into it. You know, Mark Bonaconi, another mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
And his dad, Nick Bonaconi, the former Dolphin, pumping all sorts of money and raising money for that. You go back to the example of Chris Reeve and the attention he brought to it. Hopefully this is the end result from all that research.
Yeah.
And Kevin Everett is the beneficiary of that. We don't wish that upon anybody.
No.
But the way he's progressing, man, that is just awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not going to get back on the football field, but if he can walk and have a normal life again.
That's what matters. Here's your update from the NFL Network. You're going to hear from Dr. Andrew Cappuccino, the Bills orthopedic surgeon, J.P. Lossman, and Ronald Royal. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and laugh. No, I know. So, I mean, there really isn't a whole lot else we can say about it other than the fact that it's really cool that he's progressing the way that he is.
And to talk to some of the guys who play the game, they'll tell you to a person that it's something they're aware of. And they know that it's something that could happen to them at a given time, which is one of the reasons why they drill relentlessly, they practice relentlessly, and they're told constantly about keeping the proper technique whenever they're making a tackle, whenever they're making a play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they'll also tell you that they can't dwell on it. They can't try to think about it, because if they do, then it's going to end up being something. They're going to slip up and make a mistake.
Yeah.
And good, bad, or otherwise, I guess this is kind of a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I just need to keep some perspective here when I'm playing this game.
Yeah, no doubt. That is it for the first half of the show, bottom of the hour. Some of you get Tommy and Brian. The rest of you get your bottom of the hour news updates. When we come back, it'll be more stuff like the F-Troop.
Yes, the F-Troop. We'll talk more college football.
As well we should.
As certain ACC school finally broke a losing streak.
Yeah, they'll no longer be our number one for the wrong reasons.
And classic game in Tuscaloosa.
There we go. And OSG Sports Radio Camp Point of Count comes back after this.
The problem with computers? I don't have a computer, and email seems to be the only way people communicate anymore, especially my grandkids. Then I found out that I didn't need a computer to receive emails and photos. All I needed was my regular phone line and the new Presto service with the HP printing mailbox. It's so easy. Take it out of the box, plug it into the phone jack, and presto, you're connected. You don't have to do a thing. Emails and photos from family and friends print out automatically. It's so easy, you have to see it for yourself. Presto will even send you information, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-496-4930. Now you can receive emails and photos from your friends and family without having an expensive, hard-to-use computer. All you need is your regular phone line, so pick up the phone. Call right now for your free information. The number is 1-800-496-4930. 1-800-496-4930. That's 1-800-496-4930.
Two Super Bowl titles and a Hall of Fame career, and Bart Starr wasn't even selected till the 17th round of the 1956 NFL Draft. But Vince Lombardi recognized Starr's potential, and with his encouragement, the former Alabama quarterback became one of the NFL's all-time greats. Potential is what Starr sees in the at-risk young men who had a Rawhide Boys Ranch, which he co-founded in 1965. With his encouragement, almost 3,000 young men have graduated to more productive lives. And SEC's 75th anniversary, Story of Character.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio. Attention Falcon management and owners, one more time. The Matt Schaub trade was a bad one. It was a trade that did not need to be made. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, here's the reason I bring it up again. Sunday, Houston over Carolina. Matt Schaub, 20 for 28 and two TDs, almost 300 yards. The Houston Texans are 2-0. The Falcons are 0-2. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with the Falcons' defense. They've been decent in both losses so far, but an offense in the NFL needs to play enough to give a defense time to rest. In other words, it doesn't matter how good a defense is, it cannot stay on the field all day long. Jacksonville's offense will not strike fear into most NFL defenses, but Sunday they were just good enough. I really thought the Falcons could get it together enough after the Michael Vick suspension to at least go 7-9, but after the first 2 weeks of the season, I was being very optimistic. For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
It's On the Soapbox with Brian Eaves on Count Pointer Count.
Welcome back, everybody. Count Pointer Count. It is Brian Eaves, and this week we are on the Tiger Woods Soapbox. It's not the fact that Tiger Woods wins so often that is so amazing. When Tiger wins, he wins. Dominates. Absolutely, positively laps the field. Woods wins a tour championship yesterday by 8 shots. That's right, 8 shots. And just like the other 60 wins in his professional career, you didn't even have to watch the telecast yesterday to know the outcome. Time after time, when Tiger is in contention, everyone close or even not so close to the lead or around his score folds up like a cheap suit. We've seen it in majors, and we've seen it at the smaller events too. We've seen it on a Friday, and we've seen it on a final round Sunday. It happens over and over. But maybe it's not the folding, but the intense fire Tiger has inside to annihilate his opponents that makes him so special. Consider Friday afternoon. Tiger is paired with Steve Stricker, one of the game's really nice stories this year. It's hole number 5, and Stricker hits a perfect shot to 15 feet. Tiger, however, hits a horrendous shot into the bunker. So Stricker has a putt for birdie, and Tiger will be lucky to make par, says the announcer. Yeah, right. Tiger holes it out from the bunker while Stricker proceeds to miss his putt. Advantage, the greatest golfer the sport has ever seen. And yes, you can debate it all you want to. You can tell me to look at Hogan's record or Nicklaus's or Snead's. Hogwash. Tiger's been playing professional golf since 1997. In that time, he has 13 major championships and 61 career wins. Jack had almost 30 years between his first and last victory. You do the math, and it tells you that it is entirely possible, if he continues in this fashion, Tiger will win somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 majors and will total over 140 wins. Sam Snead currently holds the record for career victories at 82. After the shot mentioned above, Steve Stricker said, "You just sit back and you think to yourself, how does that happen? I just lost a shot there and I played the hole perfectly and he makes a birdie and I make par. And it gets to you after a while, but you just tell him nice shot and you go on." In his last 11 rounds, Tiger hasn't posted a score worse than 67, and his 6 most recent scores look like a best ball scorecard at your local team championships. 65, 63, 64, 63, 64, and 66. So for all the pundits that somehow resent what Tiger is doing to the sport, you might want to find something else to do. Otherwise, that resentment is going to last for another 20 years or so. Get used to it and enjoy the brilliance that is Tiger. You can always go back to hating OJ again now.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
As long as they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F Troop!
Welcome to the F Troop. John Wilkerson here with you, and we continue our college football theme. And remember back in July, I told you I thought Boston College had the most complete team in the ACC, plus the luxury of having the best returning quarterback in the league. Therefore, BC was my pick to win the ACC Atlantic Division. Well, the Eagles are off to a red-hot start, 3-0 in the ACC, after torching Georgia Tech Saturday 24-7. And oh, by the way, Matt Ryan threw for a career best 435 yards against the Yellow Jacket defense. That's Ryan's second 400-yard passing game this year. Here are the highlights of the game, courtesy of Boston College's ISP radio network, plus post-game.
Ryan straight back to pass, lets it fly down the far sideline, and it's caught for a touchdown! Brendan Robinson! Oh, he dropped it out of the sky, and the Eagles strike again! B-Rob, take a bow! Boston College, with some happy faces on the far sideline, will go to 3-0 under first-year coach Jeff J. Kaczynski.
3-0 in the ACC, no less.
Huge.
And they have beaten a team that's ranked ahead of them. They've beaten their former head coach, and they've beaten the ACC champion. Not bad credentials here early in the season for the Eagles.
BC will just take a knee. Ryan takes the left knee onto the grass surface. Clock with 33 seconds remaining. Ball at the 10. They don't want to rub it in. They'll get their applause from the coaches on the far sideline and go home with a 2-touchdown win. The Boston College Eagles are off to a 3-0 start. They beat Georgia Tech 24-10. Another highlight film night from Matt Heisman Ryan with the 435 yards. Take a bow, Boston College. You have beaten the Yellow Jackets.
Matt Ryan, unbelievable game for yourself and the defense. Career high 436 yards. Well, yeah, it was a good night. You know, the receivers played really well, and the offensive line stepped up. Georgia Tech brings a ton of pressure, and those guys really kept me off my back all night. I can't say how good of a job they did.
Balanced attack, though. You had the rushing game and the passing game. Did the extra practice pay off for you guys today?
Yeah, no doubt. I think we ran the ball pretty well. Andre and LV did a good job. And again, our offensive line's really coming together. They're blocking really well, and I'm really proud of those guys.
What can you say about being not only 3-0 to start the season, but 3-0 in the conference?
That's a big start. It's definitely, we put ourselves in a position where we can succeed, and now we just need to go take care of our business the rest of the way. And you know, we're going to enjoy the win tonight and make sure that we start preparing this week for our next game.
Should be a fun travel home.
Yeah, definitely. Late, but fun.
Congratulations, Manny.
Moving on to the SEC, where Nick Saban's magic is working wonders in Tuscaloosa. The Alabama Crimson Tide is 3-0. And passed a big SEC test by defeating Arkansas 41-38 Saturday. John Parker Wilson, I think somehow Joe Montana invaded his body at the end of that game. He put together a 2-minute drive that Tide fans will be talking about for years to come, that culminated with Wilson connecting with Matt Cattle in the end zone with 8 seconds left to pull off the win. Here are the highlights from Eli Gold and Ken Stabler on the Learfield Crimson Tide Radio Network.
To be 3rd and 1. From the 3.5, 14 seconds to go.
Plenty of time to get off two plays.
No timeouts. Brown will be the man in motion. Shotgun, John Parker Wilson, looks left, throws. He finds a man in the end zone. Matt Cattle! Touchdown! But there's a flag on the play. There's a flag on the play. Matt Cattle makes the grab, but there is a flag on the play. A flag at the line of scrimmage. It is on Arkansas. Touchdown, Alabama!
Finally, the streak is over. The Duke Blue Devils have won a game, and they did it on the road, and it was against a Big Ten team. Everyone is using the Big Ten as a punching bag now. Appalachian State, FAU, Comcast. Now the Blue Devils, as they defeated Northwestern 20-14 in Evanston, ending a 22-game losing streak. Now here are the highlights, courtesy of the Big Ten Network, and postgame from a happy head coach, Ted Roof.
Shea hands it off, Roberson with room, into the end zone, touchdown, Northwestern. Brandon Roberson, quarter from Evanston, right in motion, back to the right side. Lewis, under pressure, throw to the end zone, wide open. Touchdown, Brandon King, the full gun. Steps up, delivers, caught, first down and more, breaking free, headed towards the end zone, touchdown Blue Devils. The catch and TD for Ronnie Drummer, 46 yards, and it's 20-7. They're coming with the blitz. Bechet under pressure, throws, incomplete. Jones, the intended receiver, and the Duke Blue Devils have won it. The 22-game losing streak is over for Duke. They win it tonight.
What a win for Duke. Let's go down on the field. Here's Barsha.
Coach Roof, you break a 22-game losing streak. How big was this, and how nerve-wracking was that second half for you?
Well, it was awful big. And as far as nerve-wracking, you know, nothing's going to come easy. We're going to have to go earn something. And I give Northwestern a lot of credit. They played hard, but our kids just hung in there and took it at the end, and I'm real proud of them.
Tell us a little bit about your defense. The fact that they had opportunities in the red zone late in the game twice, and you guys bent, but you did not break.
Yeah, you know, it's a matter of execution. We've got to execute, and then we've got to make plays. We're in position, you know, to make a scramble there. You know, the quarterback made a great play, but our kids bowed their necks and hung in there and won a football game, and I'm real proud of them.
You talked about your kids, a lot of them coming here because they knew they had an opportunity to turn this program around. How big is this win for them in terms of confidence, in terms of taking that first step?
Well, I don't know. We'll see next week how important it is, but I just, like I said, I'm real proud of them right now, and they just hung in there and did it, and hopefully they will use this game to springboard and get us going the rest of our season.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach, and congratulations.
Duke's last win was on September 17, 2005, over VMI, and that was a 1AA team. The Blue Devils' last win over a 1A team was in 2004 when Duke defeated Clemson. Next up for Duke is the Naval Academy at Annapolis, and that one's Saturday. And now it's the F Troop for this week. Much more to come as Count Pointer Count continues after this.
Warning, this contains explicit material not suitable for children.
He's just going to do, hi, I'm Corey Kessler, and God's Gift to Women, and you're listening to OST Sports Radio, or something like that.
Hello, I'm Corey Kessler. We're in Hoops Heaven, everybody. You're listening to OST Sports Radio. Tune in to Johnny Nelson every week.
Count Pointer Count.
Oh, you've got to admit, that is pretty neat.
Now, back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Kitchen stink time, as always. This is just an exhibition, please, as always, no wagering. Mike Harkrod's getting back into managing.
How nice. Where's Grover going now?
He's going to one of the nation's most successful summer teams for college-age players in Liberal, Kansas, about 50 miles from where he grew up in Perryton, Texas. The team name, the Liberal BJs.
Wilkie, are you okay from falling off the chair? He's speechless.
And his face is red, almost as red as yours.
Well, no, I actually went through this with you before we started, yeah, so I was prepared for it.
I don't want to know what their team logo is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
Carol Leifer bought Michael Vick's speech apologizing for the dogfighting scandal that he read, his notes that he read, $10,200 from the notes at the Omni Hotel.
There's
money well spent.
Yeah. I mean, Lord knows comedians always need material for their shows, and I'm sure this will provide a lot of it. Yeah,
Vic's attorneys have said Vic did not write the notes, but declined to say whether an attorney or an advisor wrote them for him. Quoting Carol Leifer, Michael Vick ironically never made the most important apology, the one to the animals themselves. We have a female official. The game in Tennessee, Memphis, and Jacksonville State, Sarah mm-hmm. Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Saw the video of that this morning.
First female official ever to work a major college football game.
They're working NBA games.
Yeah, why not college football?
I mean, what's the difference?
Now, and also, something else. We talked about fines with Bill Belichick. What about the fine that F1 gave McLaren?
Oh, I saw that.
$100 million. As a result of a spying controversy. What a surprise. They stripped Vodafone, McLaren, Mercedes of all constructors' points. So in NASCAR, it's like taking all of your driver points, all of your owner points away. They kept the driver's points with Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. So they took all their driver's point, all the team points away. Furthermore, the team will pay a fine equal to $100 million less the FOM income lost as a result of the points deduction.
So is that in euros or?
No, I think it was translated to $100 million like actual dollars.
Wow.
The only dollars that are important, ours.
Well, I'm pretty sure that'll send a message to the other teams not to do it.
Yeah, don't do that. And speaking of spying, an accusation of spying with cameras behind a two-way mirror has stirred up intrigue at the Women's World Cup. The day before their match with China, Denmark team officials found two men with video cameras sitting behind a two-way mirror in the hotel conference room where the team was about to hold a strategy meeting. Somehow the movie Porky's...
That's how they call it these days.
Somehow the movie Porky's just comes to mind for me. Yeah?
They're just really... I can't imagine there would be that much to cheat from when it comes to soccer.
Especially in a hotel room.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You think there wasn't strategy or you?
Trying to be above board and honest here.
Okay.
Quoting the coach for the Danish team, I don't know what secrets Denmark would have because I know the whole team from before. We played them many, many times with Sweden. I don't think there are any secrets we'd be interested in. It's not clear who the men with the video cameras were, but they were taken away by police. However, the issue appears to have been put to rest. FIFA said in a statement that they will not pursue the case further. Also, English forward Kelly Smith will not be kissing her soccer boots if she scores again. Quoting her coach, the kissing idea came to her when she was trying to prepare herself mentally for the game with Japan. And also, Australian striker Sarah Walsh will not be doing a Maxwell Smart-style shoe phone call anymore. Quoting her coach, they've got too much time on their hands.
We're talking Women's World Cup, Phil.
Why?
I know.
You want to do your Marlins story?
You do it.
400 fans in attendance Wednesday afternoon when the announced attendance was 10,121.
400.
I like that.
To coin a phrase, I don't think so.
It's amazing.
And apparently, who's the pitch, one of the middle reliever for Florida? I can't think of his name. He used to pitch for the Diamondbacks.
Oh, Byung-Young Kim.
Byung-Young Kim, yes. Thank you very much.
The much-traveled Byung-Young Kim?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. He was on the mound, and I guess he said a few expletives.
Yes.
That were picked up by the FSN Florida broadcast, and of course, they had to apologize. Rich Waltz had to apologize to the
viewers.
Sorry,
you heard that.
Because there were nobody in the stands, and you could hear everything that was
said.
They
played a baseball game, and there was nobody in the stands.
Does
it
count?
Actually happen?
Yeah, the Braves did them in the 70s a lot. I was there. Isaiah Thomas was a foul-mouthed bully who went on tirades at a moment's notice. A Manhattan federal court jury was told yesterday in a day of raw testimony filled with obscenities and sexual slurs.
He's full of He's a total
Fired Knicks exec Anuka Brown Sanders said Thomas repeatedly called her a bitch and a hoe in private conversations, but then suddenly declared he loved her after they played a game of basketball.
Did he say that to Joe Dumars all the time?
I don't know if he said, bitch, I don't give a f*** about the sponsors, I don't give a f*** about ticket sales to Joe Dumars.
Wait a minute, you can't say that.
J-Dub's bleeping as we go. She also said Thomas rebuffed her in March 04 with a request that he signed renewal request letters, yes, sent out to past season ticket holders with a pointed shot at loyal Knick fans. Brown Sanders quoting Thomas, bitch, I don't give a f*** about these white people. And this was her dream job, quoting her. And after a frustrating 2004 law, you okay? A frustrating 2004 law, she said Thomas grabbed her by the arm, pulled her into a room off the garden floor, and screamed at her for having scheduled player appearances at a corporate event the day before. Quote, we're not going to do any more of these f***ing community events. I'm here to win f***ing basketball games.
And he hasn't done a whole lot of that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Knick guard Stephon Marbury was expected to take the stand today, and I believe in his testimony he admitted to having sex with an intern.
Yes, he did.
There's no telling what'll come out of Starberry's mouth.
Now, don't piss off Wade Boggs at a fishing event. Hundreds of Redbone sanctioned tournaments to Captain Gary Ellis's credit. Even he makes mistakes. Just don't make the one that robs Wade Boggs of a tournament victory. Two men were atop the celebrity division with 200 points by the end of the day. Boggs, MC for the event, had caught a bonefish and permit on spin over the 2 days, and Mark Cooper caught a bonefish on fly, matching the point total of 200. Ellis made the call. The title went to Cooper. Boggs was not happy. Boggs quoted as saying, I caught two fish and you caught one and you win. He then grabbed the trophy and ran out of the room.
Did he have chicken beforehand?
Probably. Mission Valley, California. 100 people were arrested during Sunday's Chargers game against the Bears. More than 250 others ejected. Most ejected and removed for smoking.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
They're putting signs up there for a reason.
Most of the arrests were for drunkenness or fighting.
It is California.
Sean Williams, Indiana Pacers forward, arrested Tuesday on charges of marijuana possession, driving without a license after an officer pulled over an SUV for making an illegal lane change. Booked into jail on initial charges of possession of marijuana, driving without a license, driving with an expired plate, and failure to signal a lane change.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
You can't fix stupid.
And
next.
Let's see.
Next.
What is next?
It's starting to smell good in here.
Let's see. The SUV's license plate expired in July. The SUV's backseat passenger was arrested on charges of carrying a gun without a license and theft, as the 9mm handgun had been reported stolen in a Collierville, Tennessee police report.
Nice.
I still can't get over my Cargrove.
The liberal BJs.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
I can get over my Cargrove. It's the fact that there's actually a team with that name.
The liberal BJs.
What?
Will that be the new team of OSU come baseball season?
Yeah.
Here's the question with that, though.
Yes.
Is that a product of it being a team in the middle of god-awful nowhere in Kansas?
But Kansas is...
Or is that the product of somebody with a wicked sense of humor?
Wicked sense of humor, because isn't Kansas a red state?
Yes, it is.
So I would say wicked sense of humor as you try to gain feeling back in your leg for some strange reason. You hanging out with Wade Wilson too much?
Excuse me?
That's it for the stink, and that's pretty much it for the show.
Yes, it is.
Let's see.
We'll hear from you.
College football show.
College football show on Friday.
Check your Fridays and Saturdays listings and sometimes on Sundays.
Coming to a radio near you.
Blakeney, take us home.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.